Good afternoon and happy Sabbath, everyone. If not now, when? If not now, when? That's my title. And I'd like to start by telling a story, but it's a very, very short story. It was told to me by a man by the name of Roger Whittaker, and I've really condensed it down. So you're going to have to pay attention and think about each word that I say. It's three sentences long. So it starts out this way. I met a man who had a dream. He had that dream since he was 21. I met a man, that man, when he was 91. Don't you know tomorrow never comes? Think about that. Isn't that kind of true? It's so easy to think tomorrow I'll get around to doing something. Tomorrow I'll do that. Tomorrow I'll be this. And life just goes right on by. Here was a person who had a dream, and 70 years later, he still has the same dream. No change. He didn't improve. The dream is still a dream. It's not a reality. Life just flew right on by. And that's what I want to talk about, because I think for us as Christians, the same thing happens spiritually. If we're not careful, we put off changing. We put off repenting. We put off overcoming. It's easy to get focused on wonderful messages that are true and vital. Things like, God loves me just like I am. Forgiveness is there. There's no sin too big that God can't cover up, which are true statements. But if we're not careful, we too can be like that man who had a dream, and we never quite get around to the hard business of changing, overcoming, repenting. So I'd like to just look at that. I'd like to look at a couple of examples of what I mean when I say, if not now, when? So we're probably well familiar. I'll take an easy one. It's going to be tangible. It's going to be easy to kind of relate to it. In Proverbs 6, we talked about, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer, in times of summer and harvest, it collects and saves up so that at the time of need, there's some stuff available. So if not now, when? This is one of the places we go to come up with the very concept that everyone should have an emergency fund. So I ask myself, am I building an emergency fund? And if not now, when would I do that? Do you realize the S&P 500 has gone up 6 years in a row, every year positive? If it goes up this year being positive, it'll be the first time in history that it's gone up 7 years in a row. Since 2007 to today, the net worth of the average American has increased 32%. If I don't take time now to save and build up an emergency fund, when would I get around to it? When there's another correction? When there's a depression, when there's a recession, how about when I lose my job? What this proverb is saying is that you need to strike while the iron's hot. When you have the opportunity in summer, better go and do it, because those opportunities don't last forever. So I think it's pretty easy for us to kind of see the application of, if not now, when? Now let's do something that's a little tougher. It gets a little closer to home. But in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, God gives some fundamental instruction to those who are married. And he says, nevertheless, let each one of you so love his wife as himself, and let the wife respect her husband. That is the crux of building a godly marriage. So, if we're married, are we doing that? Are we doing that right now? Are we really loving our spouses? Are we respecting our spouses exactly the way God said? And if not, when are we going to get around to it? Perhaps, you know, when the kids are out and on their own, I can really focus on my marriage. Or are we going to wait until, you know what, we've drifted so far apart, somebody wants a divorce? If not now, when? If not now, when will we become the type of people God wants us to become? Now, at this time of the year, we often start reading some in Corinthians, right? So in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new leaven. you know, that you may be a new lump. So if we don't look for sin now, if we don't examine ourselves and say, is there sin in me? Am I doing things I shouldn't do? Or am I not doing things I should be doing? And if we don't get rid of those thoughts, those actions, those ideas, those attitudes, when will we do that? When will we get around to becoming what we're supposed to become? It's true that God called us as we are. He loved us as we are. He called us as the weak of the world. But never, ever, ever did he expect us to remain weak and this way. He expects us to overcome, to become bold in Christ. He expects us to become a new man. That's get rid of the old and in with the new. So if we don't do it now, if we don't respond today, when would we get around to doing that? When would we get around to getting rid of that? You know, was it a couple of weeks ago that we had a special speaker come up and they focused on addictions, right? Some of us have addictions. There's no doubt about it, all right? Some of us will gain addictions. But the question is not, are you so bad because you have one? It's what will you do now that it's exposed? A speaker came up. Are we going to address those addictions now? They just brought up a specialist. There was information given. There's support available. Or will we put that off until, well, I'll wait for it to be discovered. I'll wait until I lose my job, my wife, my family, and then I'll get around to changing. If not now, when will you get around to dealing with any of these hard things in life? So I think that's pretty plain there. So now let's paint with a broad brush for a little bit because we're in the spring holy day time. We're looking at Passover. We're looking at unleavened bread. We're reviewing the history of ancient Israel. Very rich, lots of great articles, lots of great stories that have so much insight. And you could take one topic like leaven and spend 20 or 30 or 60 minutes on it. So instead, we're going to rise up to about a 10,000-foot view and just rehearse what actually happened. What happened? And let's look at it from the perspective of if not now, when? Ancient Israel was in slavery for hundreds of years. They weren't serving God. They weren't chasing after God. And out of mercy, out of grace, out of kindness, God grants them forgiveness. He comes down, gets involved in their lives, not because they're serving him. And not only that, he breaks the power of the most powerful man and country in the world. Because they had no ability to be free on their own. They had no ability to serve God. They were completely captive, powerless to truly serve God. So God does all that work for them. And then he says, you know what? I did all that for you. Free. You did nothing to deserve it. However, you have to get up off your duffs and you have to walk out of Egypt. You have to walk away from sin. And then God decides, I'm going to put some barriers to keep Satan and Egypt from just flooding back into it because it chases after us. Sin chases after us. So he puts these barriers and says, okay, now I can't just have you not do stuff. I got to teach you a new way. I'm going to give you the Sabbath. I'm going to give you the holy days. I'm going to give you my laws, my commandments. And not only that, I'm going to put Christ in the midst of you and you can follow him to show you where you should go because I want to take you to the promised land. And so the people start wandering around and following him. And they're a lot like us. We got the Sabbath. We got the holy days. Great. Good for us. Wonderful. All right? But we're supposed to follow Christ. And what is very, very interesting is they get to the promised land after a certain passage of time. All the while, they have to do stuff. This isn't done all for them. The things that are too hard, too powerful, that's done for them. They're now freed from the shackles and the captivity of this powerful person, Egypt, Pharaoh. Now they're free to choose. Will they follow God or will they not? And I should have talked to Rod Hall before coming up here, but all the estimates I've heard, we're talking millions, 2 to 6 if I remember right. So that's a lot of people that miracles were done for, grace was given, and what did they do with that grace? They get to the promised land, they send out the spies. Only 2 spies come back with a good report and says, wow, this is a great land. We can go in and take it. God has done exactly what he said. It's marvelous what's available to us. Everyone else is afraid. Everyone else didn't change. All of those other spies, they remained the same. They thought the same. They looked at physical things. They never learned to trust God. They thought they could live on grace alone. They thought that they were okay because God loved them. But they never got around to the business of changing, adopting a new way of thinking, taking in this word of God, and learning to trust wherever it led that it was great. And anything that was too hard for them, God would supply the needs. So out of millions of people, two people changed. At that point, they had run out of time. God had judged them and said, you know what? You should have been able to see these miracles. You should have been able to learn how to trust me. You should have been different than when I took you out of Egypt. And because you weren't, because you didn't change, because you remained there and you longed to go back to Egypt, you wouldn't trust me. All of you will die and never enter the promised land. So I take that at this time of the year to be a good teaching lesson. That we don't have unlimited time. And as 1 Peter says, that judgment is now begun on the house of God. We are being judged for what we do with this grace, with this free, unmerited pardon. Do we use the fact that Christ broke the power that Satan and the devil has over us, that we no longer have to serve sin? We can chuck it out. We have the ability to purge, to get rid of things that should be there, and we can put the things that should be in our lives. That is the process of transformation, going from the old man to the new man. Getting rid of leaven and putting in unleavened. An old lump to a new lump. So we have limited time. And I'm saying that when we look at this and look at ancient Israel, many people said, I'll get around to doing that tomorrow. But a few people said, you know what? I'm going to do it today. Now, I don't know what the message is going to be about with the sermon. All right? I have no idea what it's going to be. But I do know this. That if I don't take time to write down notes, review those notes, ask myself what things are true, what things did God use in that message to prick my heart, and how will I then take it and make it mine and change my life? If I don't do it today and tomorrow, the odds are pretty small that I'll do it next week. And by next month and next year, they're almost infinitesimal. The odds of that message being doing any good on my ears is pretty much gone. So when I look at these holiday seasons, I'm really encouraged. I'm not stuck on whatever sin or problems I've had. I've been freed from the penalties of it, and I've been given the freedom to be unshackled to that sin, and I can toss it out. It's a great time to act, but I think we need to do it now and not later. Because we don't want to be like the person, the Christian, who at 91 is the same as they were when they were 21. If not now, when?